It's Monday, October 26, 2015. This is Death by a Thousand Cuts Fantasy Hockey Podcast, and this is your host, Rob Higgins.
Thank you, David. Thank you very much. Welcome to week two. Things good?
Things are well. Thank you very much.
The pleasure
is all mine.
Okay, great. How is your team doing? How are things since last week? How specifically is Dominic Moore doing?
Dominic Moore is going along steady and fine. Unfortunately, the rest of the team is still sagging.
So you're refusing to give up on that. You're like, I'm sticking it out with Dominic Moore. He's a sneaky play because the Rangers are good. That's what you're saying?
I'm saying that. And in a cap league, which we are in, that makes more sense at $1.5 million, which in our league is value.
Right. Well, I guess that's a good moment for us to get this weekly schedule stuff out of the way. In terms of what's going on this week in the NHL, four games belonging to, well, I guess I should point out first that the New York Rangers, which is why we cut to this in the first place, the New York Rangers have one game this week. So, David, I'm sorry to tell you, owner of Henrik Lundqvist, that you have one game potentially out of your goaltender this week. So don't sleep on that. Also, the Los Angeles Kings have two games. If you own Anaheim, Buffalo, Calgary, Carolina, Colorado, Montreal, New York Islanders, Tampa Bay, Winnipeg players, feel good that they've all got four games, the rest having three. So get that stuff quickly out of the way here and right to some cathartic fantasy hockey stuff here, David. Let's get it done. I know this is the first time you've weighed in on the bomb scene here, but we'll let you have it, folks. We're going to get the negativity out of the way and drop some bombs on the folks bringing us down. David, take it.
I have a couple bringing me down. Nick Foligno, -3, one assist in the past week. Alex Hemsky.
Come on, we were just talking about him as a good story last week. We're already going there. You don't want to put him on notice? You want to drop?
So I apologize. Yes.
Yeah, you want to put him on notice?
He is on notice.
Yes. All right, Alex Hemsky, you heard it right here, bud. We know you listen. Dave put you on notice. He's already frustrated with the Alex Hemsky file. For me, a couple places we have to start right away. Drop multiple hammers on the Anaheim Ducks. Oh. Imagine if you built your team around Perry and Getzlaff, maybe a Vatanen in there as well, maybe an Anderson, thinking that that's going to be your core of your team this year, the market that you're going to corner, and what a bummer it's been for you if you are, in fact, that person. It's hard not to feel that the Anaheim Ducks would have the kind of season this year that wouldn't necessarily involve dominating the regular season, but
they're getting no production from anybody.
But no one expected it to be this bad. It's brutal. So many people are bomb-worthy. We decided to hit the whole team. I also want to drop the hammer real quick on a couple of veterans who I'm really not that all that interested in to begin with, but they still get picked up. I mean, at 75% for the first, 98% for the second one. Drop the hammer on both Eric Staal and Alex Pietrangelo. I need to drop early season bombs on Dougie Hamilton. Again, huge ownership. A lot of people expecting big things from Hamilton. Well, 0 points, -5. No fun for anybody owning that file, Dave. Any other bombs you want to get off your chest?
Anders Lee.
Oh, Dave. Giving up already?
No, I'm not giving up. He's got four games this week. We'll see how it goes.
So are we putting him on notice or are we dropping
notice.
Him?
Notice.
Oh, you're on notice, Anders Lee. Dave's putting you on notice.
Abdicator, you're on notice as well.
And we were just talking about that being a good file. He's sitting there. He's the new Holmstrom. We just talked about that last week. He's the new Tommy Holmstrom. So you're putting him on notice is what you're saying. Well,
but my whole team personally should be on notice, so I'm having difficulty with anybody.
Well, Detroit's having some issues. There's some issues going on with Detroit. You'd have to think Pavel Datsyuk returning would be a good thing for this squad.
Yes.
Give it some time with the blue line. They have a couple of goaltenders. But, yeah, not as much production as people wanted to be seeing this week out of the Detroit Red Wings. Anybody else on your list?
No, we could also bomb all. Nah, it's Columbus. Who knows what's going on over there?
I got a few. Three players that I wasn't all that interested in this year, and they don't seem to be doing much.
Oh, Brendan Saad, of course.
Oh, all right.
I apologize.
Please, crack staff behind the glass. Can you drop a hammer on Brendan Saad? Thank you. Does that feel better?
Yes.
How much are you paying him?
I believe $6 million.
Do you think
he's the $6 million man?
He's the $6 million man. Do you think Columbus feels good about having the $6 million man right now?
Absolutely not.
Do you think Torts is looking at Brendan Saad going, yeah, this is the guy that's going to lead us out of this? No? Do you think he's that guy? Do you
think
he's
a Torts guy? Oh, I think there's going to be some yellings. I don't know if he's...
Is he going to be a Torts guy?
Is he a Torts guy? Is Torts still Torts?
Let's not get too deep.
Oh, Torts doesn't change his shell. Thank you.
Drop the hammer on David Backus. Ye of the 94% ownership. 2 assists, no goals, and he's a minus play so far. St. Louis scoring some goals, but they do not involve David Backus very much. Tyler Myers, drop the hammer on Tyler Myers. Screw that guy.
Yeah.
You got everyone excited with that run at the end of last year, the new context. You're minus play. You got 2 points in 8 games. Winnipeg's doing well. 21 shots on goal. That's pretty good. David, no goals to show for it. Are we about to see a spike in Tyler Myers' production? Or does he not have the right fit to be out there getting the secondary pointage? Should we find out?
I think we should find out.
You know what's a good site to check out, folks? Go to that daily face-off and check out what line combinations are going down. Let's do that right now in the middle of our podcast.
Right,
let's go look up the Tyler Myers situation. He's on the second pairing with Ben Chiarot. So you got Buff and Enstrom on the top pairing, Myers and Ben on the second, and then Trouba and Stewart on the third. You can see why some people might speculate that they could trade Buffalo, and I still think that's crazy if you're expecting to win now. Especially now that you got a legitimate top line with Ladd, Little, and Wheeler. You got some promise with Scheifele and Ehlers on the second line. They could use a little more jam there than maybe Perreault. But
well, if you're looking for more jam, you're certainly not going to get rid of Dustin Byfuglien then.
Well, I'm just saying out of that line. Anyways, Tyler Myers, not having it. Not having you on my roster. Now, last but not least, drop the hammer on David Perron. Some line juggling going on in Pittsburgh. Obviously, they're trying to find the right fit to make this machinery go. But with all of that, with that carousel, the winger carousel, an unfortunate situation that David Perron is essentially Donut City, Dave. -3. He's playing 15 minutes per for the club, getting bounced around from line to line. Fourth line fit at the moment, I believe. Last I checked, he was still a fourth line look. So... That's enough, David Perron. I see the great Marlowe exodus has come early this year. I couldn't help but notice in the first week of the season, he was very Patrick Marlowe-esque. 3 goals in 4 games, 18 shots on goal. It was like people were
banner year.
Were racing to the waiver wire going, I gave up on him too soon. What was I thinking? He qualifies at 2 positions. San Jose's hot. They're a team exceeding expectations, and he's right in the middle of it. I gotta go get me a Patrick Marlowe. They get him. Second week, no goals, 4 games, 10 shots on goal, a -6. Oh. And you're kicking yourself in the face. You can do that, right? You can kick yourself in the face. You're sitting there, you're kicking yourself in the face, saying, why did I pick up Patrick Marlowe? The late fall, early winter, great Marlowe exodus has come early this year.
It has come early this year.
The Hard Luck Cafe Gold Ribbon for Participation, also known as the 110% Award, this week goes to none other than Bo Bennett.
Bo Bennett.
He injured himself celebrating a goal. As if you don't have enough injuries, Bo Bennett, on your file. You figured, hey, I'll just rack up this sort of unforced error kind of injury and see how people feel about that. So
management looks really highly upon that stuff
too. Well, who doesn't like that? I mean, things were actually looking promising too, so that's kind of a bummer. You're owning him. You're sitting there going, you know what? Eye test. He looks pretty good. He's going to get some looks because they need wingers to step up, and he hurts himself celebrating a goal. Some notice players, bomb notice. Jeff Skinner. Are you kidding me? 56% ownership, not happening. Abdulkader, we already discussed. And how about Jonathan Drouin? Gangbusters out of the gate. Was making my trade for Jamie Benn look terrible. My summer trade. And here we are, week 2, and Jamie Benn's crushing it. Drouin has gone pointless now. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he's been pretty much useless since week 1. Charlie Coyle, we sang your praises last week, Charlie, about you know, in terms of the eye test, you're a solid-looking hockey player, and the points have to come. And 0 points in six now. So, bomb notice for you, sir. The Haas, Dave. The Haas is cold to start the season. Are people concerned? Are people dropping Marian Hossa this week? Are they waking up Monday morning going, all right, I have five moves this week. I got to get rid of this five-plus mil attached to Hossa. Is that happening?
It's happening in a few leagues, and I think more in a cap-centric league it is happening because that's a lot of money to have on the table for no production.
It is. Another bummer. Ollie Matta, so much hype attached to the opportunity and the skill, and usually when those things meet on a good squad that seemed to have renewed reasons for optimism going into the season. Clearly, it's been a disappointment for many, but Ollie Matta on notice, pal. 1 point so far this season. I don't know how much longer I'd be waiting before I'd make a move there, David.
Yep.
Anybody else you wanted to put on notice or bomb before we move on to some picks and some props?
No, I'm good to go.
All right, good stuff. Number one, in terms of propage, I guess we should give it to Evgeny Kuznetsov. Absolutely ridiculous what's going on there. Obviously, Washington was going to be a popular destination for fantasy this year, Dave. But if you look at the last week alone since we did this, started the podcast, Kuznetsov, 3 goals, 6 assists, +5. Absolutely ridiculous. Maybe the only criticism you could throw his way is the -8 faceoff differential, but considering he's still only at 76% ownership, which I believe is less than Dougie Hamilton or Pietrangelo or Patrick Marleau for that matter, Evgeny Kuznetsov just been ridiculous, leading our league in terms of production at least this last week, on par with Pacioretty and none other than Mike Camilleri. Props to you, sir, as well. Another veteran like Pacioretty dominating this week. Kuznetsov leading the charge among the youthful participants, I would say. There's really no other player from his peer group in terms of age matching what he's done in the last week. He's hanging tough with all these veteran players, David. Pacioretty, Camilleri, Markov, of course, with the big week, Subban. James Neal, we got to give props and respect to James Neal. I did not expect him to necessarily ever be, again, a guy that would be dominating in a top 10 way. Yet there he is this week, continuing his hot start. I believe he's got 6 goals already. That is crushing Sidney Crosby, of course, but James Neal actually has 2, 4, 6 goals in his last 5 games alone, David. So
that's great.
Enjoying a hot streak, James Neal.
Hey, what about Travis Zajac? Not very much ownership, but there's about a 4% ownership. So if he's available, especially on the hot streak, well, with Jersey and running with
Well, you're right. That's a good place to go, actually, because how many people avoid New Jersey like the plague at their draft, right?
That wasn't an option.
It just wasn't an option. Maybe you'd consider a Schneider. Maybe you'd look at the way Adam Larson finished up last year and you'd think, if I needed a fourth defenseman, I'd take a chance on a player like that. Mike Camilleri, I can't believe, was sitting there in our league as of a few days ago. And his hit actually isn't that bad if you are looking at it from a money perspective. But the New Jersey Devils clearly one of the best stories of the last week in the early going of the season, because they're hanging and then they're scoring some goals. And it's not just Camilleri and it's not just Zajac. There are other options as well. You got to give respect to Adam Henrique and what he's done. He's got 3 goals, 2 assists, and +4 in the last week alone. The faceoff differential, not a good one there. He's actually -13. So that's a bit of an asterisk, but he's getting lots of look. He's getting looks shorthanded. He's getting looks on the power play. And Adam Henrique has done it before, which is why he's been paid dough, pretty significant dough. But right now, he is one of the reasons that the New Jersey Devils have a great number of options hanging with some of the best plays in fantasy. Before we move on, I should give some props to David Krejci. We talked about this last week, just annoyed me to no end that he went undrafted in our draft to start the season. I just couldn't believe it, and I didn't have the money to pick him up at the end, or I would have, but respect, sir, just crushing it with the Boston Bruins. Another sort of doom and gloom scenario where people were afraid to go there, but a lot of those plays would be for that reason. good ones. Torrey Krug, David Krejci were the two that I was looking at going into our draft, and I was unable to get either one of them. But David Krejci just dominating the fantasy hockey scene, David. All right, some picks. Do some cherry picking across the league here, David. I have a tough time thinking that Brett Connolly in Boston is really an option. But when you consider right now he's playing with Bergeron and Marchand, and it's working the last couple of games especially, you do not want to sleep on that file, along with actually another doom and gloom scenario. The Columbus Blue Jackets, hey, congratulations. Yeah. They won a hockey game.
They did.
Torts, hey, the fixer. The fixer taken over in Columbus, and the one file that intrigues me there, Boone Jenner. I have him on my team, picked him up last week, and it was great to see him score a couple of goals after I claimed him, but he was on my fucking bench, and I wanted to punch myself in the face.
No, I
poor
sit,
me, but Boone Jenner.
I sit with
Jenner.
Two players on the team as well, Foligno and Saad, and you know what? Ugh, I hear you. Come on, Torts. It's on him.
No pressure, Torts. Dave's putting it all on you. But Boone Jenner, I'd be going there. Boone Jenner. If you go look at the numbers, he already got 5 goals. He plays the type of game that Torts wants, demands, expects from his players. And last on our list of picks, Benny Poles, Benoit Pouliot. Another like play that nobody really wants to make. But if you're enjoying the success that comes with Connor McDavid, then let Benny Poles ride that wave and let you be the beneficiary.
Oui, bonne chance.
Bonne chance.
Bonne chance, mon ami.
Mon ami.
Le deuxième étoile.
Benny Poles. And also Pascal Dupuis.
Ah.
Yeah.
Même chose.
The Pittsburgh Penguins off discussed in the early going here. Not for the good reasons necessarily, but Pascal Dupuis sitting pretty at the moment, David. Pascal Dupuis sitting, or is he sitting pretty? Is he?
I think that also depends on Phil Kessel, who seems to have picked up a little bit with going down with Malkin.
So how does that affect Dupuis playing with Crosby? I don't understand.
Foxy by proxy, he gets to move up work.
Well, for sure,
and
absolutely.
They have that,
I would
already
think. Yeah, absolutely. Dupuis playing with Crosby—that's a great situation for him. But do you think they're going to be able to find? Is it an automatic? I guess is what I was asking. That these guys are going to find some chemistry. It seems it's working in the early going here for Malkin and Kessel. And you'd have to think maybe it would take some of the pressure off Phil a little bit if he's not out there with Sid and he can play on the second line with Malkin. And there has to be some component of that in there, I guess.
No, I agree with that too. I think it's the Foxy by proxy situation. And I think that Pascal Dupuis does have that chemistry with that chemistry with Sidney Crosby already, so I think it's a good choice.
Yeah, don't sleep on that one. Seabrook, of course, getting the main looks now that Keith is out of the picture in Chicago. He is owned straight across the board in most leagues, so it's not like he's really going to be available. But if you're looking to swing a deal and the owner of a Seabrook isn't really all that keen, well, that's a good time to own him, that's for sure. Ryan Ellis, speaking of blue liners, don't sleep on Ryan Ellis. Most folks that pay attention to the game know this kid is enjoying a good trajectory right now and belongs on a fantasy hockey squad. So if he's available, I certainly wouldn't be sleeping on that one, David. And another kid that is in a groove right now in terms of productions in a great environment to enjoy success this year, Burakovsky in Washington. We talked about him a bit last week, but he had a great week, so worthy of mention once again. What about Mikkel Boedker? He's available in our league. He had a hat trick this week. Still, no one went and picked him up. What does that say about the perception of Mikkel Boedker and the Arizona Coyotes?
Just a not sexy choice. And I think the stigma with the team alone, it also reflects to the players as well. And, I think people would rather go with sexier names and pass up on someone like a Boedker.
You're not buying. You're looking at him right now. You could pick him up right in the middle of this potteroo,
which I have been known to.
And you're not going to do it. You're gonna say no. I'm not buying the hat trick. What's he getting paid? You must be aware already.
I'm working to that as we speak. As I'm researching. They do play the Leafs tonight. 3.75, so he's an average paid player.
Yeah, it's a reasonable price tag for someone that's going to be productive in one of your slots, so to speak.
So, do you know what? Maybe while we're here...
Oh, you're going to have a second
glow. Live on tape.
Oh, Day's having second thoughts. So, Mikko Boker, congratulations, buried the hat trick. I haven't pulled the trigger on it. I've already got Duclair, so I really don't want to invest that much more into Arizona right now. Otherwise, I might have had a look at it. He's a streaky player. He doesn't seem to put it up wire to wire necessarily, but someone to keep an eye on, for sure.
And you know what? In our league, I already have an Arizona player as well, too, so...
You do? You're not going there?
No, I'm not going there.
Someone that I would have back on my roster, I gave up on it early because of some other things I had on the go, but Colton Parayko, blue liner for the St. Louis Blues. What a week, David. 2.6 shots on goal versus the New York Islanders. 22-plus minutes in his last two games. Only 44% ownership. Colton Parayko, he of the booming shot. Big hockey player. Getting some good looks. Still some frustration with his all-around game based on what we're reading coming out of St. Louis. But another solid option for that staff. A team that probably could make a move and actually trade a blue liner. One of the few teams that can afford realistically to do that.
Hey, Robert, before I go, what do you think of Dion Phaneuf this week? Three games.
Dion Phaneuf, well, I've always defended Dion, if you will, because... I think he's always been put in situations that he shouldn't have been put in necessarily, and he's handled them pretty decently. I know there's been some epic gaffes and moments that Leaf fans want to forget about, but considering his capacity and his skills, I think that the expectations were always unrealistic, and here we are now. He's in a Mike Babcock era, and he seems to be thriving. I believe he's got 5 assists. I don't think he has any goals yet, and I think he's a +5. So if you're in a straight-up points league, he's an asset. If you're in a roto league, he's helping out in a couple of categories, and he's always playing a pretty physical game, so he can help you out in the greasy departments as well. I don't think Dion Phaneuf is going to be an anchor for anybody this year, and I would expect some goals to come too, and who knows, maybe he'll actually get dealt.
Cool. Thank you.
Moving on. Actually, another Leaf we could talk about. Daniel Winnick. He's putting up some points. And I know some folks are looking at the waiver wire going, do I take a chance on a Daniel Winnick? But if you listen to Mike Babcock talk about the player, he was asked by a reporter, essentially, what's the deal with playing Daniel Winnick so much? Well, who do you consider your number one line and all that kind of thing? And he was like, well, look at the production. I mean, they're getting points. So why wouldn't I... basically lean on them is what he was saying. And Daniel Winnick is in the mix of the players that Mike Babcock trusts, clearly. So
absolutely. It's a fun watch going on. Even with losses, it's not a bad watch. It's interesting to see the way mixing players up, and some of those old grindery type guys are doing it like the Winnicks.
Before we wrap things up, your boy, Klaas Dahlbeck, sort of made fun of him last week. But he's actually had a decent week, Dave. He's racking up the pluses. I couldn't help but notice he's a +6. Playing the Toronto Maple Leafs Monday night to kick off another week of fantasy. Congratulations, David. You're in front of the curve on the Dahlbeck file.
Why, thank you.
A pleasure to have you. A pleasure to talk puck
again. Thanks for having me.
May your points be many, folks. And until next week.